This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is almost 7:06. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Ayman. And for our next story, we're talking about the hiring of neurodiverse people in the workplace. This is after the BBC explored whether companies in the UK are welcoming towards neurodiverse employees and how they make sure that their talent is nurtured.
So neurodiversity refers to the community of people who have dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD, they're on the autism spectrum, or they have other neurological functions which determines how people learn and process information. But because these are spectrum conditions, they can have a wide range of characteristics. And what this means is that, you know, if there's a lack of understanding about neurodiversity, it can be the case that companies may not know what to do when it comes to recruiting and employing neurodiverse talent.
So the idea is to stop focusing on things that neurodivergent people can't do and start celebrating what they are exceptional at. For example, the UK intelligence agency, GCHQ, seek neurodivergent people due to their ability to focus and find links and patterns. And they have a few tools to help nurture these abilities. For example, noise-cancelling headphones and voice-to-text and text-to-voice software, which helps a lot to make work more conducive.
So I've read a few articles during our research for this story, and from what I gather is that there's a lot of missed talent if companies were to overlook the hiring of neurodiverse job applicants, because, for example, dyslexia. There was one case where there was a lady in the UK. She worked in a communications role, which involved a lot of writing letters, filling in car plate numbers, which meant that a lot of times she mistyped words and didn't have a good grammar, seemingly, on paper. And she was always pointed out that, you have terrible grammar, your language is not good. But when she found another company that accommodated different needs of different people, including neurodiverse employees, it turns out that her talents lied elsewhere in terms of creative thinking rather than actual communication and writing skills. And that allowed her to progress even better in the new company, and she's become a creative communications director, if I'm not mistaken. So it just shows that there are a lot of benefits when you sort of cater to the different needs of individual employees, neurodivergent staff, non-neurodivergent staff as well. So each people have their own strengths and abilities, different ways of thinking. And that in the long run, if you do cater to the different kind of skills that you have, it will benefit a lot to the company.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is really about making the workplace one that is more inclusive and one that welcomes all sorts of talents, welcome all sorts of people from different walks of life. And it's really also about, I guess, making some amount of changes, either major or minor, in plenty of the practices that you perhaps have, right? So starting even straight from the from the hiring of employees, you have to look at your HR practice. And I think usually what happens here is there is one standard test, there is perhaps a few standard interviews that you go through and that companies run that might not be suitable for people who are neurodivergent or people who might struggle with any sort of other thing, right? And perhaps it's not so welcoming, even if the if in the first place you are already disenfranchised from wanting to take up those jobs, then it makes it quite difficult. And then later on, if you happen to hire them, then it takes a different set of changes that you might have to make to make it more inclusive. You might have to tailor certain changes. You know, for example, the article pointed out these companies perhaps giving noise-canceling headphones to prevent distraction, to provide a more conducive work environment, and then also providing the staff who may not be neurodivergent some amount of training to understand and to deal and to be more empathetic towards struggles and towards some of the certain kinks that might exist, right? Because if you don't deal with them and if you can't create the culture among your staff, then even if you have the best hiring practices, these people might not, the communities that are, the neurodiverse community might not feel so welcomed, and it might actually be a challenge to get the job than when that's all they want to do.
Yeah, and you raise an interesting point there, Kelvin, about the awareness, not just among the employers, but the fellow colleagues as well. So when the company does, you know, employ a neurodiverse employee, it's a long-term thing, right? So even your colleagues need to know, you know, what the ways that they can work with you. And even in the hiring process, the recruitment process, it does require a different approach when it comes to you know, the whole Q&A session, question and answering and that kind of song and dance, because some may require a bit more time to communicate the ideas. Some may require different tools, for example, a whiteboard. And I think as we go along, because I don't know what the situation is in Malaysia, I'm not sure if there is actual data on that, but obviously everyone will benefit from a greater awareness of what neurodiversity is, how to, you know, sort of nurture the talent that they have, and because it will benefit everyone. And there are all kinds of tools around. You mentioned earlier the noise cancelling headphones for one, and the GCHQ, for example. That's UK's intelligence agency. They also use a simple thing like voice to text softwares or text to voice softwares, and that goes a long way to helping neurodiverse talent be integrated into the workforce and contribute to the company as well.
So we're now going to extend this conversation with clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran. It's good to hear from you, Prakash.
Hi, guys.
So we ran through it briefly just now, but could you take us through what the term neurodiverse means and what it covers?
Well, to me, neurodiversity basically means that our human brains, they're all wired differently. So the neurological differences that you get from one to another are just generally a normal part of society. So neurological differences like conditions like autism, ADHD, your dyslexia, dyspraxia, and some others as well, they all fall under that umbrella of neurodevelopmental disorders. So they all come under this, you want to call it, big spectrum.
And do we have any idea about how many neurodivergent people there are in Malaysia?
I'm not very aware of that kind of data or whether we have that kind of data. But I know, like, in the US, they say it's like in one in six people are neurodiverse. Yeah, in Malaysia, I'm not very sure of the data.
Right. And what are the challenges that neurodiverse people face in being employed in organizations?
Well, I think for these individuals, a big part of it as well is the lack of understanding from others, from fellow employees or even from their employers, of their differences, of their challenges that they may face, and the way that they do their jobs may be different or might appear different as well. So maybe the lack of understanding and acceptance to a certain extent, I think is a big challenge for them.
Are there concerns that deter employees from hiring neurodiverse people? And how can we address these fears?
Well, like, I guess the big concern would be that the cons outweigh the pros, right? So when you hire somebody, you hope that they bring something to your organization, they bring a certain skill set. And I guess the concern here, or what deters them, would be the maybe they're not aware and they don't know how to handle and what to expect from these individuals, and whether they might have a difficult time adapting or, you know, joining the company or being part of the working environment. So some of these things probably would deter them. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the other part of your question.
How can we address the fears that employers have?
Well, I think, first of all, the first big step is being educated, right? So being more aware about neurodiversity, how it looks, and understanding these individuals more. I think that's the first step, and that will kind of help alleviate fear when you know. So I think, yeah, knowledge is important there.
And besides that, right, what kind of actual day-to-day adjustments might this involve?
You mean in the organization itself, by the organization?
Yeah, by the organization.
Well, just generally, I think you guys were mentioning earlier as well, putting into place certain accommodations. I think some of the things you guys mentioned earlier was like using noise-canceling headphones and things like that. So, so for example, individuals on the autism spectrum, they might have sensory needs or sensory issues. So noise-canceling headphones would help them focus better. Things like maybe having a standing desk or sensory tools or fidget tools that they can use. So different kinds of accommodations. A rest corner where they can go if they need some time to gather their thoughts and calm down. Flexibility as well for the way they work might be a little bit different. So taking into consideration those needs. And I think a big part as well is communication. So how we communicate with these individuals and making sure that they are heard and they feel heard as well in the organization. So some of these things, I think, are quite big.
So there may be some negativity attached to neurodiversity. For example, perhaps employers might associate with what these workers will not be able to do. But, you know, on the flip side, what is the positive value of having neurodiverse hires in the company?
I think, first of all, these individuals bring different skill sets, right? So some of them might be better at pattern recognition, they're good at data, they're very good with memory or math. So they have certain skill sets and certain talents, I guess, that would benefit the organization. I think besides that as well, it also benefits the organization in the sense of learning to work with different individuals. When we talk about not just the neurodiverse, but the neurotypical as well, all of us have different working styles, all of us do things differently. The man management from one person to another is vastly different as well. So I think organizations can benefit from learning these things as well, because they can be applied not just, you want to say, to the neurodiverse society, but also to the neurotypicals.
Mm-hmm. And we're right now, you know, so far we've been talking about once they do enter the company, once they do join as employees, but, you know, we have also have to, I guess, address the recruitment process before they even manage to get through the door. How might the recruitment process of these candidates be different?
Yeah, so I think certain things cause problems or cause difficulties in the so-called in the hiring process, things like the interview process, right? So the interview process, again, we talk about individuals on the autism spectrum. Socially, they may not be as typical as we like them to be, so they might lack the eye contact and things like that. So trying to be a bit more aware of these things and making it a little bit more stressful for them, these kind of situations, maybe giving them a bit more time to process information or when you ask questions to them. So I guess being a bit more accommodative, especially in the interview section. If you talk about individuals with dyslexia, they might make spelling mistakes when they're filling up forms and application CVs and their resumes. So things like that can also be understood and taken into consideration.
Are there any organizations in Malaysia that actively seek out neurodiverse individuals?
I'm not sure about organizations that actively seek them out, but I know that there are some big organizations that do work with these populations. Organizations like Gamuda, Uniqlo, they do hire these individuals and they have quite a good program for them as well.
Prakash, thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you so much, guys.
That was clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran speaking to us about welcoming neurodiverse employees at the workplace. If you happen to work at one, or if you happen to have any ideas of how we can make the workplace more inclusive, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.